Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
You are listening to the Business Rescue Roadmap, episode number 109. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel, and on today's show, we have Chris Guillebeau. He is a New York Times bestselling author and a modern-day explorer. During a lifetime of self-employment that included a four-year commitment as a volunteer executive in West Africa, he visited every country in the world, 193 in total, before his 35th birthday. Since then, he's modeled the proven definition of an entrepreneur, someone who will work 24 hours a day for themselves to avoid working 1 hour a day for someone else. Chris's first book was The Art of Nonconformity. It was translated into more than 20 languages. And his second book, The $100 Startup, was a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller, selling more than 500,000 copies worldwide. He has since had his third book, The Happiness of Pursuit, was published in September 2014 and was also a New York Times bestseller. And then his fourth book, Born for This, will help you find the work you were meant to do. Chris, welcome to the show. So happy to have you here today.
Hey, Stacey. Thank you so much for having me and thanks for those kind words.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I like to do with the start of the show is kind of take us back to that moment when you had to figure out, you know, should I commit to win here, start a business, or cut my losses and do something else. Can you share with us how your entrepreneurial journey began and what that looked like?
You know, for me, my entrepreneurial journey began at a pretty early age. I was 19 and I didn't want to work for anybody else. And so my very early motivation wasn't so much about, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur, quote unquote. I want to make a lot of money. I want to, you know, change the world, you know, through small business. Like, you know, for me, the early motivation was like, how can I, you know, not have a job. Like, I like to work. I'm very motivated to work, but I'm motivated to do like my kind of work. Like, I want to work on my own projects. So that was the early thing of like, how can I find a way to do this? Like, how can I craft that? And it took on a number of different iterations, you know, over the years. I did a lot of online stuff. I did auction sales, buying and reselling things. And I did part of that while I was living overseas in West Africa for about 4 years as an aid worker. And then, you know, probably the second more relevant iteration of it was I was coming close to turning about 30. And my question for myself was, okay, what's next? Like, I've had these experiences, you know, I'm really fortunate, but where am I taking it, you know, from here? And so then my idea was like, okay, I want to be a writer somehow. You know, what does that look like? I want to cultivate community somehow. What is that? So that was kind of the process of like, how do we go from here to there for me?
So how long have you been doing this now where you actually kind of morphed into the writer, have your books, your community?
Yeah. It's been 7 years now, 7 years and counting.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. So give me a couple of your personal strengths that really help. Like, what do you bring to the table in your business? You know, what keeps it going strong?
Sure, sure. You know, for better or worse, I've always been kind of a curious, persistent person. And I think that can help with entrepreneurship. I've annoyed my publishers for probably 6 years now with asking like so many different questions. And, you know, publishing is an opaque business. If you don't ask questions, nobody's going to come and, you know, tell you here's how everything works. So I've always been just really good at kind of diving into process and figuring out, okay, like if something is being sold somewhere, like who is selling it? How do they choose that price? If it's a product, where do they get that product? What was their price for the product? Like, I just kind of like that whole investigative process. So that's something that's helped me. And then, as I mentioned, I really do like to work. Like, I actually enjoy what I do and I look forward to it. So whenever I have a specific goal or an objective, then it's really great for me if I can have like a linear journey of like, okay, I'm going to, you know, my goal is to start this particular business. Here is the matrix that I'm working toward. Here are the deliverables, and then breaking them up into the, like step-by-step things and then like just going after it. Like, I really actually love to work on all those pieces.
Yeah. And you know, what you brought up too with asking these great questions, that's such a huge thing because, and it's personal and professional. There is just so many ways to get that answer to be yes, or to maybe have it, you discover something else. And I think you just have to be really great at asking those questions and maybe figuring out more things that you wouldn't have known about, or you wouldn't have had somebody answer in a certain way. It really kind of leads you through this other journey. So asking great questions is such an important strength. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And it's a skill, you know, it's a skill that has to be learned. It's not something that people have intuitively. I think that's important because people think like, oh, I'm just supposed to know how to do this, but you're not really taught. to ask good questions, as you said. Like, you're not really taught to kind of dive into the process and figure it out. But it is something that you can cultivate yourself. It's a skill that you can kind of learn, is just through the power of observation. As you kind of go through life and, you know, kind of drive down the street, like, what are the opportunities here? What are other people doing? Other people are driving down the street. Where are they going? What do they need? You know, what does that destination need? If you go to a restaurant, you look at the menu. It's really fascinating to study restaurant menus, because if they have thought it through, you know, correctly, there's actually a lot of thought that's gone into what each item is priced at, you know, and it's just very fun to kind of like, okay, why do they do this? Why do they do that? And that will help you in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, just studying, observing, seeing what's out there and what's to come. I love it. Great. Well, I want to ask you too, let's talk a little bit more about finances, building these businesses. I mean, you've done so much, and I would love to hear a financial mistake that you made that has been a really big learning lesson that you can share with my audience and teach them some things about that.
Oh, sure. Okay. I mean, I have many, many mistakes. Yeah. I'm so glad you asked about that, because I always feel a little bit weird when it's like, you know, tell us how great you are. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, just so you know, my business is a little bit disorganized, and that is a strength and a weakness. I mean, it's both, because I haven't built it around a specific demographic. My business is much more about impact and ideas than it is about, like, here is a product that you can purchase. And I do have products for sale, but that's kind of like a secondary goal. But when I first thought about this question of like, okay, financial mistake, I remember a number of years ago, this is probably going back like almost 10 years, because I was making information products like before I was a blogger, before this whole kind of thing. And about 10 years ago, I had a whole project in the travel industry that I had built up to a really big list. I think it was maybe 100,000 people on that list or so. And I was excited about the business for a while, but then like my attention kind of waned, and like I've learned about myself that like if I'm excited, that's great. I'm going to give it 110%. But if not, you know, I'm going to give it like 20%, and that's not good, right? So in this, I mean, the long story short here, what I did was I had a promotion that was going out, and I had it all set up in my email program, and I sent out the promotion. And then because I thought it was such a great idea to like automate my business and like go away and not pay attention to it, I literally went away and didn't pay attention to it. Didn't realize for about 2 days that I had sent the wrong link in that very important promotion email. And like everybody who clicks it, like excited to purchase or at least to learn about it, didn't actually see anything. And so, you know, I was able to kind of rally a little bit and be like, oops, you know, sorry about that. But the oops message should probably have come like 10 minutes later, not 3 days later, you know?
So
I kind of, after that, I was like, you know what, this is probably not the best business for me. Like, I need to do something else, because I don't want to do anything that I'm not motivated for.
Right. You have to have that motivation. You have to have that passion to get up and want to do it every day, or at least have that delegation where yes, you've got people running it, but you still are invested. You still are checking in and making sure that everything is going according to plan as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I have a question for you, because first of all, I love the book, $100 Startup. Great, great book, great resources with that. But my question for you is, when you get people really trying to bootstrap and build these businesses with very little money, where is, I guess, the mentorship side? Because I'm a mm-hmm. big believer in investing in a coach, investing in yourself, getting that knowledge. And I feel like there's a big struggle with entrepreneurs coming into the scene going, no, I'm going to bootstrap this. I'm going to take time. So what's your philosophy on that? I'm just curious.
I think my philosophy is that it's kind of unique to each person, because people have different learning styles, and some people, no doubt, can benefit through mentorship, through coaching, through someone kind of guiding them along. Other people might, you know, learn in a different way, and other people actually might prefer to kind of experiment on their own, to read lots of books, you know, to listen to great podcasts like this one. And if they have specific questions about something, they might go to someone. But, you know, for them, they might actually not be led the best, you know, by going through a formal mentorship program. So I think it really, really depends on the person. And maybe how much knowledge they have, how much they actually like to kind of figure things out. Like I was just talking about, like maybe some people don't, and that's totally fine. Like if you have a specific expertise in something and your goal is to take that expertise and turn it into a business model, but you really don't care much about the business model kind of stuff, then it makes perfect sense, you know, to go to somebody who does know about that and connect those two things.
Yeah, that makes sense, because there are some people that really struggle with accountability and they really need their own boss, even though we get in this to be our own boss, but we kind of need somebody in charge. So, right, there are people like that, but then there are people that might be able to really, you know, watch an online course, take action, implement. So absolutely, that makes so much sense. Great. So my next question for you is, I always love asking this question, you know, is your business running you? I like talking about the work-life balance. And now with you, I mean, you have done so much. I mean, visiting 193 countries in 10 years, I mean, things like that. I would love to hear your take on the definition of work-life balance. Do you think it exists? And if so, have you ever had it? Do you have it?
I mean, balance, it's such an interesting thing. You know, I feel like the concept, the concept obviously is solid in the sense that we want our lives to be in alignment. It's like we have personal goals, we care about our relationships, we care about our health and wellness. We also care about our business and professional goals. So it makes sense on a fundamental level. I feel like the phrase itself, though, has kind of been co-opted by corporations. And it's like, you know, we're this big corporation and you're going to kind of slave away in your cubicle doing something that you don't care about. But it's okay because there's yogurt in the fridge for you,
right?
You know, or like there's a Pilates class next Thursday. So therefore we have provided life work balance for you. And obviously that's not what life work balance is. Life work balance is like you have a good life. You are healthy, you have good relationships, but you're also doing something that you really do care about. You are doing like this concept I wrote about a lot in the recent book is the work you are meant to do. And, you know, it's a whole other discussion whether there's just like one path for people or it could be more than one path. But I do see that when people are really fulfilled and are doing something that they're really excited about, you can almost kind of recognize from the outside, like they were meant to do that. And like this was this kind of unique thing for them. So, you know, I think it's important to be in alignment. You know, I think if you're unhealthy in some way, then obviously you need to address that. But I would say in my life, I haven't really thought much about balance. I've thought about big goals. I've thought about things I'm excited for. And, you know, whenever I've kind of pursued things I'm excited about, like these crazy ideas that won't leave me alone, then I've been far more successful than when I've pursued things that I'm supposed to do, or like it seems like a good idea, or somebody online said, this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I need to post this kind of thing on social media or something. But I've just been much more successful when I kind of like go down the road of something that I'm excited about and I'm willing to kind of give my all to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to know, like, do you have a daily habit that you incorporate that really helps structure your day?
Yeah, as a writer, I try to write 1,000 words a day. That's kind of my general metric or my goal. It doesn't happen every single day. It's more like 5 or 6 days a week. But I really love having a streak there. And 1,000 words is not an insurmountable goal for someone who wants to be a writer.
Right.
A day, you know, and over the course of a year, if you actually do that, then you can write a book every year. You can write a lot of blog posts. You can write a manifesto or an online course or whatever it is that your goal might be. And if you're not a writer, then I think you can apply the same kind of principle of like every day you have an objective deliverable. And if you focus on the deliverable more than on the time it takes to complete it, I think that's so much better because a lot of writers, like they have the goal of like, okay, I'm going to write from like 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. or something. And maybe that works for some people. But for me, I think that's kind of an irrelevant goal because I could sit there and like maybe not accomplish anything at all, you know, over the course of 2 hours, like especially people who have jobs, they know that very well. Like you're working at this corporate job, you can spend your whole day there doing stuff, but nothing really gets accomplished. Whereas maybe like one day you're really inspired or you have like specific case study notes that you need to type up and it's only going to take you 30 minutes. Well, which is more valuable? You know, it's more valuable, the deliverable, the outcome.
Right. Well, and I think it kind of ties into like the 9-to-5 mindset versus, you know, being an entrepreneur. We could be sitting there from 10 to 12 just knowing we have to get something done and we have to just keep doing it. And you're just kind of watching the clock versus, no, I am an entrepreneur. I need to get this accomplished by the end of today. And now you're working to get it done.
Yeah, of course. And I think, you know, it's also important to, like when you're an entrepreneur, it's very easy to never stop working because there's always one more thing to be done. And I think, I mean, from what I've seen of your work, you put a lot of emphasis on helping people structure their whole lives so that their business is supporting their life and not the other way around. And I think that's wonderful. But that is the kind of thing about being an entrepreneur. It's like, there's always something to be done and there's always something to be done. So it's both good and bad.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, for me, I love the challenge of knowing there's always something that needs to be done, but it's so hard to turn that off sometimes. So I really have to, you know, be focused on, okay, the kids are home, that we're doing family stuff. And I really have to turn it off because it can be really difficult.
Right.
Well, before we move on, I just want to take a quick moment to thank one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook tool of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap. Again, that's audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap for your free audiobook today. All right, we are back with Chris Guillebeau. Chris, thank you again for being here. I've been loving this conversation. I want to jump right back in. I would love to talk about your team. You know, I don't know much about your team. Is it a small team, large team? Who helps you really run this business and helps your day with delegation and outsourcing, things like that?
Sure. Well, I should probably mention that, you know, my example is a bit different, unconventional than a lot of businesses. So whenever I'm kind of sharing my experience, it may be applicable to some listeners and it may not be. So with that said, you know, I actually don't have much of a team in most of my business work and my writing work. After about 7 years, I do have an assistant now, and she's wonderful. She has, you know, helped my life in many different ways. But I don't have like a lot of employees, nor do I have a desire to have a lot of employees or virtual assistants or anything like that. And I would say that the success that I've had in cultivating community, in, you know, writing these books, all the different meetups and events I've done around the world, I think it does kind of relate to my interest in connecting with people directly and not having these kind of filters, you know, between me and them. So that's kind of the strategy I've adopted for that. You know, we do an event every year in Portland, Oregon called World Domination Summit. And that's a pretty big event. Now we have thousands of people coming every year.
Yeah, crazy.
So we do actually have a team for that. So I always want to say, like, when I think about like what I'm doing, that event, we do have a core team of about 8 people that work specifically on that event. But most of those people are not involved in my business work or my writing stuff.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because I was going to say, wow, I can't even believe that with knowing that you put that on, because it's a pretty big event. Okay, that makes complete sense. And yes, like there are sometimes people, they hear that I have so many employees and they get like almost this jealousy of, oh, if only I could do this, or if only I had this many people. But that comes with a lot of headaches sometimes, a lot of management. You know, just because you have a lot of people doesn't mean you have always the right people in the right place. And there's a lot of kind of, you know, moving them around. So I think you have to just figure out what works for you. You know, you just don't want to have that overwhelming sense of always needing to catch up. But once you figure out what works for you, what works for your schedule, I love that you don't have to look at somebody and go, I need to do what they're doing. You've got to figure it out for yourself.
I think people tend to kind of put the cart before the horse sometimes. And when they're starting a new business, they kind of think about those questions, which may be relevant at some point, but they think about those things much more than they think about the actual product or the service or how they're solving people's problems and creating solutions for people and impacting people's lives. I feel like this is where the emphasis should be. And then once you kind of know how you're going to do that, what the strategies and expressions of that are, then you figure out, okay, like, do I do this on my own? Do I do this with a virtual team? Do I need an in-person team? I mean, like the answers to that will derive from the much bigger question of like, how are you going to change the world through your business?
Right. And I think you had talked about, you know, community building relationships. You just can't outsource that kind of stuff. You have to be in there and engaging, and people can feel when it's you and when it's not you. So I think that's really crucial to know that there are so many things in this business you can outsource, but there are absolutely some things that you have to make sure it's you.
Yeah, some people do. I was going to say some people do try to outsource the relationship building, but I don't think it's a good idea.
No, not at all.
I always think it's very funny when I see something like that. I'm like, okay, probably not the best idea.
No, yeah. And you hear about it more and more often. You know, people are outsourcing the commenting and all of that. And it's just, it's really hard when you're trying to build these relationships and you're trying to build this connection and they're building it with somebody else and you're not really in the mix. So I agree. So I want to ask you too, delegation, a little bit more detail.
Sure.
Is there something that you knew, and you said you have an assistant, was there something that you knew, I've got to get this off my plate, I don't like it, or it's not for me, I could give it to somebody else? Is there something that sticks out in your mind that you just had to get off your plate?
That's a great question. I don't know if there's one thing like that. For better or worse, like the way I've constructed my life, like, you know, even pre-assistant days, if I didn't want to do something, I kind of found a way to not do it. It wasn't like I was outsourcing it or delegating it. It was more just like I was outsourcing it from my life. Like it was more like, if I don't want to, you know, if there's something I don't like, then I just won't do it. I mean, there are some exceptions to that, of course, but, for the most part, you know, I spend most of my time doing things that I believe in and care about. I would say, like, since I've had, you know, the assistant who is wonderful, She does a lot of WordPress stuff for me, which is great. Like obviously I still write like on my own posts, but she does a lot of formatting for me and sets up images, and like that stuff takes a lot of time. And yeah. I always did it myself. And so what's interesting is like one, now she's doing it. And so I'm saving a lot of time, but she's also doing it better than me, which right. is great. You know, it's like, I'm like, wow, you know, that's like, there are all these reasons why I shouldn't have been doing that for a long period of time. And I'm so glad that I found somebody who's doing that now.
Yeah. It's so funny when you've been procrastinating this specific task and then you finally do it and you're going, oh my goodness, they are doing it way better than me. What was I thinking? I mean, right, it's just, it's crazy. Because we always think no one can do it as good as us. And in reality, they probably can do it better.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you just right. never know. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I just have a couple more quick questions for you. I would love to know what you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur.
Probably the freedom, the autonomy, the belief that, I mean, not to sound like too big picture, but the belief that I'm kind of forging my own destiny, that like my life is out in front of me and it's not determined by someone else. It's, you know, I can take ownership and responsibility of that. And I think a lot of people who gravitate toward entrepreneurship relate to those values, you know, those values of, you know, I do want to contribute. I want to make something. I'm not trying to just retire and go on the beach, but I want to do that on my own terms. And so I think having that ability is probably the greatest thing for me and probably the biggest benefit.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And then the opposite kind of side of that, what's the most challenging part for you as an entrepreneur?
Too many opportunities, I think. Yeah. You know, like there's a lot of strength and wisdom in people who are very focused on the kind of business they want to build, and they know what it is, and they will regularly turn down lots of other good opportunities, because we all turn down like opportunities that aren't good. But I think that the challenge is in turning down opportunities that actually do sound pretty good and could be profitable and could be enjoyable, every positive characteristic there is. Yet, you know, if you say yes to all these opportunities, you're actually not going to be doing, you know, the core thing that you set out to do. And so I have struggled with that at times.
Yeah. And do you have a system in place or something for you to figure out, okay, how do I say yes or no? You know, maybe not right now. It's not a no yet. You know, how do you figure that out for yourself?
I mean, I do a little bit of idea comparison. It's not really a system. Like in the $100 startup, I actually kind of outlined this whole like comparison chart about making decisions between different business ideas. And it's kind of like ranking, you know, profitability and impact and ease of startup and all that. And it's a pretty simple tool. But I think probably for me at this point, just because I have been doing this for 20 years, I tend to make those decisions a little bit more intuitively.
Yeah.
And I kind of know like, okay, I can see like this might be good, but it's probably going to take X amount of time. And I might be underestimating that. But, you know, so do I do this or do I not? But I think I should probably have a higher filter than I do right now. And so that's my challenge.
Yeah, definitely. What is one go-to online tool that you use, whether it's to save your business or rescue your life? So a professional or personal mm-hmm. tool?
Yes. So for both professional and personal life help, I use a to-do software called OmniFocus.
Oh, okay.
And there are a bunch of these, so it's not just like this one. But for me, this one kind of is the best one for me. So I just love capturing like all my tasks, all my projects. I am a big believer in the philosophy of writing things down, getting them out of your head. So whether you use a software program like OmniFocus, the one I use, or something else, or you have your own offline system or whatever, I think it's really important to kind of have this, you know, running to-do list because you can't keep everything in your head.
Right. Great. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. What is one solid piece of advice that you'd give an entrepreneur really looking to level up their business, take it to that next stage?
One piece of advice. It's hard to be like generic advice for everybody because people are in different stages. I think something that is greatly neglected, and you know, I would put myself in this category too from time to time. I think people are always focused on acquisition and growing their customer base or their readership or their listenership or whatever, and that's fine and well. But I think what is neglected there is serving that existing community or audience or readership or whatever they are, customers, because there are a lot of very, very successful businesses have been very, very successful by focusing on that core group and then letting the acquisition happen kind of naturally, organically. They've actually been able to grow their business much, much more by truly understanding the needs of those people, those customers or clients, and truly understanding how one can meet those needs and what solutions we can provide. So I think it's always good to, before you look ahead and think, what are my strategies, you know, to get new people? Am I really serving, you know, the audience or the community that I have now as best as I possibly can?
Yeah. And I love the kind of picture, if you can picture like a bathtub and we're so focused on filling it up with water and, you know, making that water flow even more, but we don't realize the drain's open and we're losing customers. And that is just so important. Such a great thing to mention, because you can't get to that next stage if you're not making sure that current customers are happy and your current products are as good as they should be.
Smart. I love that analogy. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm going to steal that from you.
Go for it. Okay. So thank you so much for being here. Please tell us, where can we find more about you, your product, services, your books, any of that stuff?
Oh, yes. It's been a joy. Thank you for the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm Chris Guillebeau. So it's chrisguillebeau.com or Chris Guillebeau on most social. And my books should be at any bookstore or on Amazon or the library.
Great. Thank you so much. And you know what? Do you have a Facebook community or anything we should know about? I should ask that too.
Oh, I do. Yeah. So that would be facebook.com/Chris Guillebeau.
Perfect. And
if you can't spell it, just type in something close to it and you'll probably find it.
Yes. And we'll put all of those links in the show notes as well. Chris, this has been so great. Thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate you being here and sharing your knowledge with my audience today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stacey.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit stacytushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.